Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to listen to The Phil Hendry Show. Now, I want to be very clear that this program does contain offensive material. It does use, as subject matter, for comedic purposes, topics such as child molestation, rape, domestic abuse, and serial murder. If you're offended by this, please don't listen. Oh, we're only kidding. All right, welcome to the program. Just started off with a little joke there. Ha, 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 ha. We never do that. Never. I had an email from a guy. What's with all the child molestation humor lately? I mean, I like your program, but... And I emailed him back. I said, you must be listening to someone else. You're probably listening to the Tom Likas Show. Speaking of that, we're going to have Tom on as a special guest. We have lampooned him so much over the last many years as comb-over boy that he was invited on the program by David G. Hall. We'll find out what that's about, but he'll be on our program later on, Tom Likas. If you don't know who he is, he's a gentleman who is on the radio here in the Los Angeles area, as well as other markets, and is not very funny or interesting, but talks really loud and really weird-sounding. And so he's gotten himself a little bit of a following, just based upon the fact that it sounds like he's got a cattle prod parked. Now, we do want to get on the line here, Dr. Jim Sadler. Dr. Sadler is a professor of African-American studies at UCLA and is joining us to talk about something. I found this very interesting, Dr. Sadler. Bob Geldof has started Live Aid. Everybody remembers Live Aid, and then they remember USA, you know, Hands Across America, whatever the hell that, what was that thing called?
You talking to me?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it's USA for the World or something.
Yeah, it was the Quincy Jones deal?
Well, it was all basically inspired by Mr. Geldof's Live Aid, which originally took place in Britain, right?
All right. Now, the criticism of Mr. Geldof's effort, and of course, when a guy puts himself out on the line to raise money for hungry nations, African nations, there's got to be some cat making a problem about it. They say there's not enough black artists on the bill, and they say this is reflective of what happened in 84 or 83.
I was right. It was 1984. They said that there weren't enough African-American artists on the bill then. And I've been a professor of African studies. That's nice. You shanked it, though. I've been a professor of African studies.
Are you golfing right now?
Oh, I'm sorry, Phil. We're hitting just doing the buck of the balls. I just thought, you know, I knocked off work. I wanted to do a buck of the balls, so.
All right. I'm going to ask you another question. Are you African American?
No, I'm white.
But you're the professor of African American studies at UCLA?
Yes. So what you're saying is I should be black?
Well, I suppose. It's always been my experience that when you talk about somebody being a professor of African American studies,
well, I don't know where it's written down, but I've studied blacks and I've made a lifelong study of it. Okay.
All right. Yeah. All right. That's fine. So, what do you think about the fact that Mr. Geldof does not have a lot of African American or African Carib or British black artists?
You know, it's funny. A lot of people don't know what to call them, and it's a very good question. We call blacks here African American, but when you're in England, do you call them African England or African? See, I don't know, and that's another thing. Kind of interesting. Here, try my 9-iron. So, a lot of
yeah. Can I ask you if I would just for one second, Dr. Sadler, if you could maybe just stay with me instead of golf?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just here with Bill Cutler, who's one of the coaches. Yeah, you're running the flag with that. So you like that? That's that ping. It's got a nice graphite shaft. All right, I will. I'm sorry, Phil. I will give you my attention here. But I lent him my ping. I just had him special ordered. So the idea that Mr. Geldof doesn't have blacks is, here's the reason. White people, okay, here it is. White people,
will you come on?
Give me that 9-iron back.
Forget the 9-iron, man. I want to just know about Geldof and his whole thing. I think Bob Geldof has been remarkable in his efforts on behalf of his fellow man and coalescing these artists to do something other than just make their records and collect their money.
Well, no, you're right. What I wanted to say is black people, I'm going to have to get away from you because I'm looking at him butchering shot after shot. This is going to make me throw up. Jesus.
Well, not that night, aren't
you? Yeah, I know, but come on, man. Next time, bring your high heels. I see, here's the thing, Phil. Blacks don't care about Africa.
No, what do you mean? Black Americans?
Well, just blacks in the first world, when we call first world, don't care about Africa. White people do, but blacks don't want to be reminded about it on account it reminds them of what, you know, I don't want to say anything bad, but it reminds them what they used to be. And when you are trying to make a name for yourself and build a life in America or Britain or what have you, and you look back on people who are still pretty much swinging from one vine to the next, you don't want to be reminded about it. White people, on the other hand, never did that. So when they give money to the blacks of Africa, it's like they're throwing, what? You see, you're not going to like this, but it's like they're throwing peanuts at a monkey. And what I mean by that is this.
Hang up on him, man.
Right.
Just hang up on the guy. I ain't buying that cat.
I went to a lot of trouble to get that number.
You really? Did you really, bud? He's the guy's out on a driving range. Here, next time, try my ping. He's talking about throwing peanuts at a monkey. This guy is the professor of African American studies at UCLA.
That's my understanding.
Well, bud, when you say that's your understanding, man, that's like saying, hey, Phil, it's like you telling me that the moon's made out of green cheese. That's your understanding.
I don't get it.
The point is, you got to check these things out a little bit more thoroughly. If that guy's the professor of black studies, and how come there's no black people on that Live 8? It's because Africans don't want to African Americans don't want to support Africans because it reminds them of what they used to be, swinging from one vine to the next. I'm telling you right now, I got my eye on you, man, because I think what you're doing is you're trying to just, you know, further your racist agenda.
Oh, come on! I called the number you gave me.
Our number is one. The real number to call this show, 1-800-449-8686. And
he's back in the line.
Put him back up, sir. I do not like that analogy.
Well, I don't like being hung up on, and I was trying to finish my thought.
Are you really a professor of African American studies at UCLA?
Yes. Do you want to check it out? You can call my dean. You can call our department. My name is Dr. Jim Sadler.
Are you a doctor in African American studies?
No, I am not.
What are you a doctor in?
Veterinary medicine.
You still think I'm going to...
I'm telling you the truth, aren't I? I'm telling you the truth.
You're a veterinarian and you're a professor of African American studies. Why?
Because they couldn't get anybody else, okay?
They can't find one qualified person in that department.
No, they can't. And I'm doing the best I can with the information that I have. And all I'm trying to tell you is a lot of blacks don't support blacks down in Africa. Why? Because they don't want to be reminded about what it was. Whites don't care because whites think that...
Well, don't say they're throwing peanuts at a monkey.
No. What I meant was it's something they want to do for their fellow man that's not very personal.
Why do you think African Americans don't care about blacks in Africa? And don't tell me it's because they reminds them of what they used to be.
Well, I just think it's difficult for blacks to further themselves in the first world, and they don't have a lot of time to worry about what they call the brothers. You know, Mr. Andy. You know.
Yeah, I've heard the term.
Okay, about the brothers in Africa. So that's. And I don't think Mr. Geldof should be blamed then. I think what he is lacking, you shanked it.
Okay, that's it. Hang up on the guy. One more golf term.
Well, you're the guy with all the golf and pool hall sound effects.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, we have our Phil Henry Show, a big-time flashback, by the way. It's one of our all-time hit flashbacks coming up. And that's in just a few minutes. Tonight on the Phil Henry Show, Dr. Jeff Dowder, another doctor. This guy, a professor of mechanical physics at Caltech, who will be discussing the summer and the extreme roller coasters that we have here in the state of California that a lot of people may be taking advantage of when they come out here. And then we will also have, I forget. I'll do it, bud. Don't touch my copy.
I'm just going through it.
Steve Bozell. Mr. Bozell is from Corona, California. He is filing a lawsuit against a Starburst grocery chain because he was standing in line, and the line was very long and very slow because the checkers tend to talk to the customers, especially old ladies. That would have been so bad, but Mr. Bozell had items in both arms, and he'd taken a sweet potato. All right, here it is. He took a sweet potato. What? Look at man. What do you want?
Why don't you grow up and just do it?
I'm trying to.
I'm trying to. Grow up. Now, what is it?
He took a sweet potato, put it in his pants.
God, you know, you're embarrassing, man.
All right, thank you for cutting in and putting me down right off the bat. He's suing because he took a sweet potato, put it in his pants.
Come on, will you?
All right. He took a sweet potato, put it in his pants. It was a bulge. And he's afraid that it shocked or, you know, upset kids. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
It's time now for not just a flashback request, but one of our all-time classic flashback requests, often requested. You might say this is in a rotation. Here it is from Brian in Salt Lake City. He writes, the best of your 2003 CD bit where Jay Sanos did the flare drops with the belt sander with Lloyd Bonafide calling in caused my first big fight with my then fiance, now wife. She didn't appreciate it when Lloyd said that they would Vaseline up so-and-so and go to town on a guy like Jay back in Korea. Regards, Brian. Here it is.
I did over 20 years in the military.
Semper Fi.
Yeah, Semper Fi to you. I'll tell you what, I drive a van, I just had it painted. And if I go to one of your flare drops and you try and put a belt sander on it, there's going to be a problem and you're going to have it.
Sir,
you ain't searching nothing.
Sir, it's a belt sander that is industrial use. Now, you just had the car painted. Why?
Because it had scratches in it, you creep. I'm going to tell you something. My secondary in the military was as an MP. You touch my car, you search my car, or you touch anybody in my family or me, and there's going to be a problem. There's going to be a citizen's arrest, and it's going to be you getting arrested.
Sir, I got to ask you this time. Do you own a sniper gun?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. I got a souvenir from Vietnam. You got a problem with that?
All right, let's put that together. You got a sniper gun? You are a Vietnam vet, which could mean some mental imbalance. I'm not saying...
What are you talking about? Mental imbalance.
You know our Vietnam vet, sir, came back a little cracked, messed up in the head.
Oh, I see, because I served my country, I'm messed
That's
up in the head.
Yeah,
now.
That is absolutely unfair. 99.9% of our Vietnam vet.
Come on, Phil, you know the stories. You've read the newspapers.
Yeah, and did you ever look at that? I'm just telling you, if I pull up the one of your flare drops,
okay,
and you try and put a belt sander on my vehicle, you're going to eat the flare, and then you're going to be arrested. And if you try and search my vehicle, then you're really going to be arrested and you're going to be sued because it's a violation of my civil rights.
Mike,
I don't even have to let a cop search my van.
Hold on. Mike, I want you to stay on the line because you're a veteran. I got another veteran on the line here.
Yeah.
Hold on. Lloyd, is this you?
Yes, sir.
Lloyd?
First of all, I want to echo everything that Mike has said, and I was just listening to this fella, and as a fellow veteran, if this bastard touched my Winnebago, I would... Oh, boy. You don't even... And I did 3 years in the Korean War, sir.
You gentlemen are threatening me.
You listen to me, and you listen good. You put a sander on my Winnebago, which my wife and I use once a year to go to see my daughter-in-law in Portland, Oregon, and I will tear your eyes out, and I will have sex with your skull. And
all right, sir.
I mean, that's how strong...
See what I'm talking about, and this is the thing that I've got to put up with as a citizen.
No.
What?
You got it wrong. We got to put up with people like you.
We got to put up with you, you piece of garbage. And you know what we used to do to guys like you in the service?
Yeah.
We'd their rear end and go ahead and go to work on them. One after the other. Isn't that right, Mike?
Wait a second, okay?
You see, I was called a faggot, and this all got...
Well, you are a faggot.
Well, wait a minute. You're talking about...
Yes, that's right. We'd sodomize a man.
Not me. What? I'd pound you into the ground if you touch my vehicle, and I can do it.
Well, gentlemen, I can assure you that I sound like I'm probably a little bit younger than both of you. I think I can handle both of you, no problem.
That's a good one. Hey. Buddy, you put your hands on me, and you'll pull back two bloody stumps.
Okay, now I'm a fag, and I'm going to have my skull sexed. Anything else, gentlemen?
What I'm telling you is that if you ever touch my vehicle without my consent or search my vehicle without my consent, one, I'd show you how tough you are, and two, you'd be the one in jail. How's that grab you?
I couldn't...
Well, sir, I don't think that's going to happen because...
Oh, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'll back him up, too. I'll come along. You know what I got in my garage? I got a machete that I got in right after the Chosin Reservoir. One of the Marines gave me a machete. And you want to see it?
Okay, we've got enough violence going on here.
Well, these guys are talking about hurting me.
Well, but you're pulling over and you're belt sanding their car. You detained a woman for 4 hours.
She called me a faggot. She called Subcommander Bill Nugent a faggot. She called Major Elvis Newton a faggot. She said that we all look like faggots in our fairy pith helmets.
Do you want to be a police officer?
I beg pardon? I am a police officer, sir.
No. You want to be a certified police officer.
In the rear end. That's what I do.
No, you want to be a certified police officer.
Sir, I'm a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We save lives.
I'm asking, do you want to be a certified member of the police force?
Are you meaning that have the cars that get to ride in the cars?
What I'm meaning is to go to the police academy and become a certified police officer.
And can be in a car with
real cops. That know that they're not allowed to search my car without my permission, without probable cause.
Why don't you answer the man's question?
I don't think. There's too much politics involved.
In the police force?
Yes, sir.
No. Please. Now, I'm trying to be reasonable with you.
I'm being reasonable, too, sir. There's far too much politics. I can make my own hours this way.
You go out play policeman, right?
Sir, I play policeman.
My kids play cops and robbers. That's what
right.
You're doing.
You know what I do with you? And let me tell you what I do. I wouldn't stop for you. I'd keep right on driving. And I'd flatten a couple of you dirty.
Oh.
Well, I mean it. I heard this guy. I thought I was going to come out of my shorts.
Sir, all we're trying to do is save lives.
Saving any lives by sanding my car.
You're not going to save your life, because if you put a belt sander on my car, I will drive over top of you and every member of your family.
All right, I got to get the address of both of these gentlemen, Phil, if you have enough time.
What for?
I've been threatened by both of them. I need their addresses.
Don't give any address.
I'll give you my address.
Don't do it.
Mike, you going to give me your address?
Sure, I'll give you my address. I live in Fort Mitchell, Alabama. Come on down.
That's right. I live in Alhambra, California, okay? After you get your ass kicked
You live in California?
Yes, sir.
That explains a lot of what you're saying.
I beg you, what's that supposed to mean, sir?
Hmm?
I think he means you're kind of a gay boy.
I'm a gay boy? Let me tell you.
No. We lost the connection.
We lost the connection.
I want to give him my address. You want it?
Yeah, go right ahead.
123 Kick Street.
Mr. Bohannon?
I'm Phil Hendry, sir. I'm not Bohannon.
Yeah, Mr.
This is not the Jim Bohannon show?
No, sir.
Well, then I've got the wrong program.
Well, Jay called the wrong show, too. And that's the best part of the bit. Mr. Bohannon? Phil Hendry's show, that's our flashback, a real classic there with Jay Santos and Lloyd Bonafide, and that is from 2003. Coming up tonight, it's Steve Bozell on the Phil Hendry program, as well as Jeff Dowder, and a lot of other things in between, including a visit from Tom Likas in the Phil Hendry studio coming up.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, if you live long enough, I guess you see everything. Come on in, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Bud, just get him. David, you there?
I'm right here.
And I'm hearing, something in the background there.
I'm just opening a can of soup. The reason why I'm on is, and Tom's there?
I'm right here, David.
Yeah, he's here.
All right. You've been doing some bits on your show called the Comb Over Boy Bits. Everybody knows about them. That's in reference to Mr. Likas. Is that right?
Yes, I guess the cat's out of the bag. Yeah, it's in reference to Mr. Likas.
Why, by the way...
Just for the record, I don't comb my hair over. I don't know what he meant.
Well, you used to comb your hair over. You were bald and you combed it forward, didn't you?
I did for a while. But as soon as you started calling me Comb Over Boy and I started to take some heat for it, I stopped.
Yeah, okay, but you did do it, right?
I did for a while, yeah.
Look, the point is this. You have been ripping into him pretty good. You made a monkey out of him at that talk radio seminar. I got friends over at Infinity. I don't need you spoiling the waters. I got some business I want to do with them. About your show?
Yeah.
So we don't need you ripping into this guy anymore. And I'd like you to apologize to him.
Well, look at it. Wait a second, man. What? With all due respect, Tom, I mean...
Don't try to patronize me. I know you don't like my program, right?
No, I don't, man. I don't like your program. It's not that it's offensive to me. It's that it's boring.
Look, what are you doing? Are you taking this as an opportunity to start ripping his ass again?
I told you, Mr. Hall, I never thought this was going to go anywhere at all. You know, I think that this is an opportunity for Henry to self-aggrandize again. And,
Listen to the way this guy talks, will you?
Don't worry about it.
And you see what I'm saying? In other words, he's the kind of guy that finds his humor in belittling the physical characteristics of other people.
Oh, God.
Will you just listen to me? I want you to make nice with this guy. I don't want any more comb-over bits. No more references to the guy.
Hey, let me ask you something, Mr. Likas. You and I are on the same affiliate in Portland, isn't that right?
I don't know. What affiliate is that?
Johnson Radio in Portland.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. Now, that's a comedy station.
That's my understanding, right.
Okay. I don't get it. What, are you... You're supposed to be funny or something?
See, this is what... You do this on purpose, don't you?
No, I mean it. Is he supposed to be funny? I mean, I know the cat does all the...
Look at Phil. I do a very hip show for young men, 1834. And we talk about sex. And these biatches... Who want to infect us with all kinds of gonorrhea, sexually transmitted diseases. Why can't I beat a woman bloody and be able to walk away from it with a clear conscience without coming down with a case of the drip the following morning? I'm going to get your calls about that.
Wait a minute. This is my show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
See? Look,
Did you hear what this guy just said? Why can't I beat a woman senseless and then wake up with a clear conscience without having a case of the drip? Now, I ask again, is this guy's show a comedy show?
What difference does it make whether it's a comedy show or not? Excuse me. What difference does it make if it's...
Well, that's really great.
Well, it's the funniest thing that's happened on your program here the last 40 minutes.
Look it, man. You can do any kind of show you want. I got the right to make fun of it if I want to. And funny you ain't. You ain't funny. You're not particularly witty. Your material is so stale it's beyond words. And...
His material's stale. You've been doing Vaseline jokes for the last 3 years.
David, I want to ask you a question while I'm on the subject.
Yeah.
How big is that can of soup?
It's pretty big.
Because that opener's been going for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, I almost got around one side of it.
What, do you got a drum of it?
Yes, I got a drum of clam chowder.
Will you turn that thing off?
So I can't have dinner. Thank you very much. So I'll starve. Thank you.
Well, what are you, opening up a freaking janitor and a drum of clam chowder?
You know, Henry, why don't you stay on the point? The point is this. That you don't like the fact that I work for a better company than you.
Is that it, Phil? You don't appreciate what Clear Channel's done for you? You think Infinity's better?
No, that is not it. I never said anything like that.
Well, that's the word that I'm hearing. The word I'm hearing is you want to work for the Howard Stern Company.
Bullcrap.
Aha! So you're a traitor. You're a guy that wants to go across the street and work for Infinity.
I didn't... Don't you realize this guy's lying through his teeth? Because I ripped him an ass over that talk radio thing. I've been clowning him and chumping him on the radio for years, and he's trying to create some stuff between you and me.
There's already a lot of stuff between you and me, my friend. And now you want to shank me in the back, huh? Old-fashioned jail style. Shiv me out in the yard, right underneath the goal. Well, I don't think it's going to happen. I want you to apologize to Mr. Lickass. I'm sorry, Mr. Lickass, because I believe that the two of you guys share a common purpose. And that is to create success for the stations both of you are on.
Well, he can do whatever he wants to do, man. I'll do what I do. I do my show.
And see, that's what I'm talking about, Mr. Hall. The guy, he's not a team player. Calling me comb-over boy. And then making references to the fact that I go to Thailand for sex with boys.
Well, do you?
What if I do? It's not a topic for your show.
It isn't topic. That's very... Thank you, Mr. Lycus. It's not a topic for your show. Mr. Lycus can go to Thailand. He can go to Burma. He can go to the sorriest, most stench-filled sewers of Southeast Asia for his sex. It's none of your beeswax what he does. And it certainly isn't any of your beeswax whether he wears a toupee.
I never said he wore a toupee. I said he combs his hair forward.
Well, I don't comb my hair forward. You can take a look at the pictures.
Well, you don't do it now after I started making fun of you for it, yeah. Now you got it all buzzed off. And by the way, as long as we're on the subject, you know what I sat next to you at that radio and records seminar thing?
Yeah.
I don't want to be cruel or anything, man, but could you maybe bring some breath mints the next time you do something like that? Because, dude, I was 4 feet away from...
Well, you're really low-blowing it, aren't you?
You know, well, every time the guy turned in my direction to say something, I just got hit with this wave of stench.
You know, that's it. I wanted to come in here and try to make nice, but...
Hey, by the way, what's up with your glasses anyway, man?
What?
What's with the sunglasses indoors?
It's a trademark that the guy has.
That's right. It's my trademark.
Oh, okay. Your trademark. Okay, I apologize, sir, for making fun of you. And your breath, and your bad, unfunny show.
This is pointless because that's an empty apology, Mr. Hall. And so I'm not going to accept it.
Phil, I want you to do a little more heartfelt.
No, I'm not going to, man.
I'll fire you, and believe me, I'll fire you. You know I'll do it. Don't make me do it.
All right, I'm sorry.
Fair enough. But I can tell you right now. I don't want to hear any more comb over, but is that my understanding, Mr. Hall?
That's your yes. That's our agreement. No more comb over boy bits.
You're really on that comedy station in Portland, huh?
Here you go again, Henry.
Yeah, I'm on that comedy station. Why?
Well, I'll just put a call into Johnson Radio up there and ask him, okay, I get it about me, and I get it about maybe some of the other cats. Lycus?
Okay, so you got to start all over again. Apologize again.
I'm not going to apologize.
I said to apologize again.
I'm sorry.
You know, the guy's a pain. The guy is one of these guys who wants to keep trouble going. All right. If he wants trouble, I'll give him more trouble he can have. Okay?
I don't understand.
Neither do I.
I said if he wants trouble, he can have more trouble to pay. Okay?
What?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But.
Show him out, bud.
Come on, Mr. Lickbutt.
Lycus.
You know something? That was a whole big waste of time. You really let me down.
What, I'm letting you down, man? I'll do my business the way I do my best. I'm letting you down? Don't ever bring that guy in here again.
Bring him in? I got big business to do with you. I got guys over there.
I don't care. Now, finish opening your soup.
Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. Well, I'm about a quarter of the way around the can.
Jesus, it's like a half hour opening that can of soup. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Almost got it.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We're going to talk to Herb Sewell in a moment about the Paris Hilton Carl's Jr. commercial, which we did reference a little bit last week. I'm sure you've seen it. Herb Sewell has a take on it that I think you're going to find interesting. Mr. Sewell is a special contributor to the Phil Hendry Show. He was incarcerated as a sex offender at Atascadero Psychiatric Forensic Hospital in California for 8 years. He did commit crimes of violence against women and children, and so he's uniquely qualified to comment on the Paris Hilton Carl's Jr. I just thinking of what it is I'm saying here, bud.
Well, I just thought he'd be a good guy.
He's uniquely qualified to talk about Paris Hilton's sex ad, Carl's Jr. ad, because he was in a nut bin for sex offenders? It suddenly occurred to me what it is I'm saying. Let me get Herb on the line. And we do enjoy talking with you, Herb. You're an interesting man. I can't say, of course, with any degree I don't know what the word would be. Any degree of confidence, I can't say that I'm a guy that admires you necessarily, but I think you've probably paid your debt to society.
Well, I certainly hope so, Phil. I've been 8 years, as you very rightfully said, incarcerated in a psychiatric forensic hospital. You know, I wasn't an archangel, you know, but I think I've done, and I'm trying to help in every way that I can, certainly, to keep myself out of there, you know. I appreciate that.
Well, all right. Why would I be talking to you about the Paris Hilton Carl's Jr. ad?
Well, I think it's an interesting commercial. I've seen it a couple of times, and I can tell you that, speaking as an individual who, you know, underwent electroshock, speaking as an individual who pled not guilty by reason of insanity to a number of charges, I can tell you that the Paris Hilton commercial is the kind of commercial that would lead an individual such as a Walter Belhaven, such as a Randall Toomey, or an individual such as myself, to want to go out and what we call in our, if you will, business, you know, to take care of business.
All right, now, wait. Take care of business, you mean seeing Paris Hilton throwing her hair around?
Seeing her throwing her hair around, seeing her rubbing her breasts, a la the scene in Cool Hand Luke, which, by the way, has never been really topped by any other actors. I mean, Blonde in that scene did that very well. Not that it helped society at large, because I remember after I saw that film, I went out and committed, I think it was two or three, there were multiple rapes within the next 4 or 5 days. And the police tell me that I committed them. I had...
What did the police tell you committed them?
I had blacked out.
Were you on drugs?
No, I was not on drugs, but there was a period of what the doctors call selective criminal unconscious. I was a very sick puppy. You know, there's no doubt about it.
So wait a minute. So you see in Paris Hilton throwing her hair around, and you want to go out and you want to kill a woman?
I think what you want to do more than anything is torture her. No, you don't necessarily want to kill her. I think in Walter Belhaven's case, or Randall Toomey, for instance, who I've discussed on your program before, Randall Toomey would probably want to spend a few days, you know, alone with it, you know, before finally flying the coup de grace. In Walter Belhaven's case, there's no doubt it would be murder, but also long and drawn out. In my case, I would have dispatched her relatively quickly, but, of course, I would want to teach her a lesson.
What are you talking? Are you aware of the things that you're saying right now are terribly twisted and sick?
No, I absolutely know that. Yes.
And what's the point of what it is that you're saying?
I'm saying, Phil, that in the mind of a sociopath, a psychopath, that is one shorn of a conscience,
and one who has these issues with regard to women and sex, and it is a power, a power dynamic, I'm saying that a commercial like the one that features Paris Hilton would inspire a psychopathic serial murderer to go out and take care of business, as we say. Go out and catch himself an 18- or 19-year-old female. And, you know, as Walter used to say, you know, put the top down and put the pedal to the metal. You know.
But why? I mean, see, you're not going to tell me that that commercial should be taken off the air because you guys were sick.
I'm not saying anything other than this, that those commercials are a trigger for a kind of psychopath. And Walter Belhaven, let's be honest.
All right, let's talk about Walter Belhaven. You've mentioned him many times. Then I have to take a break, unfortunately. Walter Belhaven is in there. He's a good friend of yours, even though he's murdered upwards of 100 children and women.
Yes, that's true, Phil.
And I know you don't like him because of that. But so he sees this commercial. What does he do?
Oh, yeah. If Walter saw that commercial?
Yes.
Oh, I have no doubt within... Probably within 2 or 3 hours, a woman would be dead. Probably 2 or 3 women.
Walter Belhaven sees Paris Hilton cavorting in a Carl's Jr. commercial, and within 2 or 3 hours, 2 or 3 women are dead.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Without question. Without question.
Because that commercial made him do it.
I'm not saying that. I'm not going to get into that trap. I'm simply saying the psychopathic mind. Walter would see that commercial, probably having breakfast, let's say. He'd very, very delicately... pat his mouth dry with his napkin, turn his television set off, get in his car, probably go to some area like a suburban mall, and within 2 or 3 hours, 3 women would be hanging upside down, gutted, and their blood drained.
Oh, God!
Well, Phil, I'm...
All right, hold. He would pat his mouth dry after breakfast. Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, coming up next, we will have Steve Bozzelli, construction contractor from Corona, California. The gentleman who is going to be filing a lawsuit against a major supermarket chain because he feels that the time the checkers are taking talking to customers is causing undue delay and even physical stress and injury to customers. He is filing a major lawsuit. And we will also have Jeff Dowder on our program later to talk about some kind of crap that he's talking about. I don't know. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Email address, phs@philhendryshow.com. I promise I'll get to the email this week. I've been very remiss. But please do send us your flashback requests. And our web address, www.philhendryshow.com. We will be back momentarily.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.